Is it the best of times or the worst of times? Well, it all depends on if you're trying to buy or sell a house. I'm Rob West. It's really a matter of perspective. Home values remain sky high and are likely to continue rising in the foreseeable future. How you view that depends on which side of the transaction you're on. I'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, it may be the worst of times if you're a first-time home buyer. Home values have never been higher thanks to the continued high cost of building materials, inflation, and low inventory. Coupled with mortgage rates around 7%, no question buying your first home is an uphill battle. It's quite different if you're moving up, that is, selling a starter home and buying one that fits your current needs. True, your dream house is more expensive these days, but so is the house you're selling, and that takes much of the sting out of those high home values. Still, higher interest rates, around 7% for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, have a lot of prospective home sellers sitting on the sidelines waiting for rates to go down. That, in turn, means fewer homes on the market, which also drives up prices. Now, if you're downsizing, it's really the best of times. You can sell a larger, more expensive home and have a sizable nest egg, or if you still have a mortgage, pay that off and be mortgage-free in your new, smaller home. These factors have always affected the housing market, but now they're exaggerated with inflation and ever-rising prices. The latest data shows that home values rose 6.5% in the past year, and analysts think those increases will continue overall, but the rate of increase will begin to slow. Of course, they've been saying that for a while now, and home prices have continued to rise. So what can you do about it if you're trying to buy a home? Well, first, get all three of your credit reports from Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You can do that for free at annualcreditreport.com. Look them over carefully and dispute any erroneous items. You want to boost your credit score to get the lowest possible interest rate when you apply for a mortgage. Next, meet with a mortgage loan officer. That person can be a wealth of information about the loan application and approval process. You don't necessarily have to provide your personal financial information during your first visit. You can also ask about any available programs for first-time home buyers. At some point, you'll have to give your personal information to a loan officer to review your debt-to-income ratio. That will determine how much you can borrow. Do not borrow as much as the lender says you can afford. That will usually be too high, making it difficult to stay on budget. I would keep your payments to 25% of your take-home pay. Next, put together as big a down payment as you can. If you can put down 20%, you won't have to pay for private mortgage insurance, which runs around 1% of the loan amount annually. You should also keep at least a few thousand dollars back because there will always be things you need to fix or add when you move into a new house. You don't want to use credit cards for that. Now it's time to get pre-approved for your loan. Here, you can shop around a bit, looking not only for the best interest rate, but also for the best company to handle your mortgage. Would you like to help make the world a better place and expand God's kingdom just by paying your mortgage? You can do that when you work with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. Movement Mortgage is a Christian mortgage company founded during the 2008 housing crisis. Its sole purpose is to help homebuyers and have a positive impact in communities within the U.S. and around the world. Movement customers get competitive rates and a chance to participate in a global movement of change. They've actually donated $377 million to projects that help local communities. Movement Mortgage also has locations in all 50 states, and you can learn more at movement.com/faith. Now that you've got your mortgage nailed down, make a list of features you need in your new home and then connect with a knowledgeable real estate agent who can help you find houses that will meet your needs. But with today's high prices, make your list of must-haves as short as possible. It's a very strong seller's market, so buyers have to be flexible. Oh, one last tip. If you can wait until winter to make an offer, do it. The field of potential buyers typically shrinks during the cold weather months, and you may have less competition then. Okay, so that's the state of the housing market today and a few tips for surviving it. We hope that helps you. All right, we're going to take your calls next. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000, and you can call that 24/7. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. I hope you don't go anywhere because we've got a lot more straight ahead. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our world is looking for peace. Wars, old and new, have continued, bringing pain and heartache to countless families. Is there an answer to all of this strife and suffering? There is, and it's found in Jesus. He is able to make even the most stubborn enemies into friends. How do we know? Because this is what He has done already with those who believe. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The world is looking for peace. Jesus gave us everlasting peace with God. This is good news for us and for the world. You'll see more of Jesus through daily time in God's Word. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, I'm so glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West. I'm your host. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today as we turn the corner and deal with anything financial. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. If you have questions and you'd like to talk about what you're considering in your financial life, we'll be encouraging to you. We'll bring godly wisdom to bear in light of Scripture and help you make a wise decision. You can call right now with any financial question, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. In the news today, before we head to the phones, employment scams surged last year as
Criminals leveraged artificial intelligence to steal money and personal information from unsuspecting job seekers. Listen to this. According to a recent Identity Theft Resource Center report, consumer reports of job scams jumped 118% in 2023 from the prior year. Here's what happens. Thieves generally pose as recruiters and post fake job listings to entice applicants, and then they steal valuable information during the, quote, interview process. They often post these phony listings on reputable websites. This might be LinkedIn or Monster or other job search platforms, and it makes distinguishing between real job listings and scams challenging. A chief danger is divulging information about financial accounts or sensitive personal data like a social security number that criminals can use to steal a job seeker's identity. According to the FTC, consumers reported losing, listen to this, $367 million to job and business opportunity scams in 2022. That was up 76%. From the previous year, the typical victim lost a whopping $2,000. AI advancements allow scammers to generate these job listings and recruitment messages that look more legitimate. These AI tools help to refine, quote, the pitch to make it more believable, especially if you're dealing with somebody who is, not from our culture. Maybe they would have normally not been able to make the listing sound official, and yet AI is helping them make that more believable and compensate for those cultural and grammar differences and language uses. Moreover, the rise of remote work during the pandemic has made workers and job seekers more comfortable with digital-only transactions. Recent college grads, immigrants, or elderly people re-entering the workforce may think digital-only hiring is the new normal, especially for fully remote jobs, but hiring generally doesn't work that way. So let me help you protect yourself from job scams. Here's what you need to know, according to the Federal Trade Commission. Number one, don't have a false sense of security on well-known job search platforms. Just because it's a brand you're familiar with doesn't mean it's not a fraudster. Independently verify the company exists and is hiring. Don't accept a job offer until you've done your own research. Be wary if you didn't initiate contact with a prospective employer or recruiter. Instead, reach out to the company directly using legitimate contact information. Only limited personal information is generally required during the application process. So I'm talking about name, phone number, job and education history, and perhaps an email and home address, but really nothing beyond that. Digital-only interactions are a red flag. You know, they're going to want you at the very least to get on a Zoom call and look at you face-to-face. If that's not happening, then you need to be careful. Phone calls are not a guarantee of security. Honest employers won't send you a check to buy supplies or anything else and then ask you to return the leftover money. This is a fake check scam that we're seeing attached to these. And then finally, please be careful about something that sounds too good to be true. So a job ad for 100% remote work requiring a very few skills and a large salary should be a big red flag. I know that's a lot of information, but I just want to keep you protected. You know, as we see more advancements in digital-only commerce and artificial intelligence, there's a lot of benefits to that, but we're seeing a rise in the number of scams and people trying to get your personal and sensitive information to steal your identity. So just be on your guard. I hope that helps you. All right, we're going to dive into your questions today on anything financial. I'm ready for you. Let's take those calls at 800-525-7000. I have two lines open, but they won't be open for long, so call right now. Let's head to Indiana and welcome Hank to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. I really appreciate your show. I've learned a lot from you, and just now was an idea. But my idea...
Thank you.
What's going on right now is that I'm hearing that these people are getting scammed out of their money, out of their bank accounts. And can I mention three banks that happened to?
Mm-hmm.
Chase, Citibank, and even the military, that USCAA, I think it is. It was on YouTube.
USAA.
I watched it.
Okay.
Yeah. and they're allowing big amounts of money to come out of these accounts and not checking to see whether it's legit or not. I don't know how it's happening.
Yeah.
But I listened to your advice and started doing online banking with I think it's Citibank, it's mm-hmm. CIT. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea. And then I'm even hearing people saying, let's stop dealing with banks and putting the money underneath the mattress. If people would start doing that, these banks would go broke.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that is, especially in light of high inflation, you're losing purchasing power with that money under the mattress. So I think there is a middle ground there where we can certainly, you know, continue to earn interest and have the conveniences and the protections associated with having a banking relationship and not keeping all that cash at home and yet still staying safe in the rise of some of this, you know, rise in criminal activity. What I would say to you is, first of all, online banking is no different than, using an electronic means to do business with a brick and mortar bank. More and more people, even with a brick and mortar relationship, are accessing their account online. They're using electronic bill pay. So you're opening yourself up to the same potential threats anytime you're doing online banking, whether it's with an exclusively online bank or online access to a brick and mortar bank. So I think that gets us back to what are the things I can do, and then what are the protections in place if this happens, or maybe I should say when it happens, because it will. So banks are responsible for protecting their customers. Now, consumers play a crucial role in safeguarding their financial information as well. So with regard to the bank's responsibility, I mean, for instance, the Electronic Fund Transfer Act provides important protections when you suffer unauthorized withdrawals from your account. So as long as a person promptly notifies their bank that access to their account has been stolen, the law limits a person's losses to $50. And this applies to transfers initiated electronically. So I'm talking about a computer or a mobile device transfer. You can read about that at the CFPB's website, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. With regard to your role in that, I would say a few best practices are don't log into your accounts or do business over public Wi-Fi. Don't click on links and emails. And the key is, this is important for the Electronic Fund Transfer Act, you've got to identify it on a timely basis. So you got to be monitoring those accounts and your credit reports, but certainly those accounts, and looking for unauthorized transactions. Thanks for your call, Hank. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I've got a couple of lines open for your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Pat. How can I help you?
Hey, thank you, first of all, for what you do with your show. It's been very helpful to me, and I always learn something when I listen to it.
Well, thank you, Pat.
I am 65. My wife is 73, and we're both drawing Social Security. And I have two part-time jobs, one in a church and one with the sheriff's office. And we have about $300,000 in 401ks. And my question is, I heard somewhere that you can take 4% a year out of your 401ks and they should last you. But I'm looking for some information like that. How much, when do we actually start taking money out of these 401ks?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And what you're referencing is what we call the 4% rule, which is research that was published by a gentleman named Bill Bengen back in the early 90s. And basically, he looked at hundreds and hundreds of retirement portfolios and tried to determine what was the rate of withdrawal that could be sustainable in any economic scenario where, through a prudent investment strategy, properly diversified, risk adjusted for the fact that you're in a retirement season of life focused on capital preservation and not capital accumulation, what was that percentage rate of withdrawal that would allow you to maintain over time, not in any one quarter or a year, but over, let's say, a decade, maintain that balance and live off the money. And he came up with the number of 4%. And that's been the number that retirement planners and financial planners have used for a long time. There's been some additional research that's been done, especially, you know, factoring in just the returns we've seen over the last 20 years or more, that suggests that perhaps you could go as much as 5%. But I think 4% is just kind of a good rule of thumb. Is there any guarantee? Absolutely not. But it's based on some pretty sound research. So the idea would be that with your $300,000 portfolio invested properly, and I'd recommend having an advisor be the one to select those investments where you have probably somewhere, I mean, at age 70, with people living longer, you may want to keep as much as 40% in stocks, with 50 or 60% in fixed income, and maybe you'd take 5% off each of those and allocate to the precious metals, something like that. But you should be able to pull $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year on your $300,000. So that's kind of the background on that. And I think, you know, the timing on that is obviously up to you. If you need the money, that's why it's there. Go ahead and draw it. If because you're continuing with two part-time jobs and you're living modestly, you're able to cover your bills and leave it alone, obviously that's ideal, because the longer you can wait to withdraw anything, even at 4% a year, the more time it has to grow on a tax-deferred basis. And that's just going to allow it to last even longer and preserve it if you need more than 4% down the year because you needed long-term care and you don't have a policy and it's, you know, full nursing care is running you $9,000-$10,000 a month, and that's obviously growing at a pretty good clip with healthcare inflation. But give me your thoughts on all that, Pat.
No, that's I really wanted to know where that number came from, and you told me, and I appreciate that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I think that's something you can think through as you consider your own withdrawal rate and timing. And again, if you're looking for an advisor to help you make those investment decisions, you could head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional and find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Arkansas. If you don't already have an advisor, if you do, of course, feel free to stay right where you are. Thanks for your call, sir, and your kind remarks about the program. I appreciate it. Let's head to Illinois. Hi, Rita. How can I help?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of questions. First off, I was unable to file my income taxes on time this year, and I did was able to get an extension. Are there any penalties that I need to be aware of?
Yeah, there may be, is the bottom line. Typically, you will not be assessed a penalty if you've already either A, paid at least 90% of the taxes that were due for the year. Because remember, although it's a filing extension, it's not an extension on the payment that was due. And so as long as you've paid substantially all of what you owed for the tax year 2023 prior to the filing deadline and before the extension, then and that substantially substantial amount is 90% or more, then you probably won't have a penalty. Or if you've paid at least what you had to pay the prior year, those would be kind of two general rules of thumb. So what the key would be is for you to just go ahead and get that filed as soon as you can. And again, if you owe anything more than you've already paid in, the key is to try to get that paid as quickly as you can, because that's just going to lessen any interest or penalties. But it's not something I would be terribly concerned about. I would just make it a priority and get it done.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have become very lazy regarding budgeting, keeping my finances, keeping on track with them.
Yes.
How do I start over?
Yeah.
Where do I begin?
Well, a couple of thoughts on that. Number one is, listen, I think your approach is the right one in that you're saying, listen, I maybe wish I would have done some things differently. Perhaps I could have been a little bit more on top of this in the past. But I think the key is to say, from this point forward, I want to be that faithful steward that God has called me to be, and it's time to get on top of this. Well, we all deal with those in various areas of our lives. So don't worry about the mistakes you've made in the past. Let's get you on track moving forward. The key is to start with that budget, that spending plan that's realistic. And we're all needing to update our budgets because expenses are up across the board. But let's do this. We have some certified Christian financial counselors that are a part of our team, and I'd like to give you a gift of one of those CERT CFCs to connect with you at no cost and help you get you back on track. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talked to Pastor Billy Crone, contrasting the New World Order and the end time plan of God in the millennium. Which one will you be a part of, and how do they differ? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating to transform American culture.
After the resurrection, when Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth, he commissions his disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded them.
We at the American Family Association seek to aid the church in our great commission.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. I'm delighted you're along with us today. We're taking your calls today. We'll get to as many as we can. Lines are just about full, but room for maybe one more at 800-525-7000. Hey, before I head to the next call, we'll be headed out to Texas here in just a moment. Let me mention, if you are struggling to stay on budget, maybe you're like our last caller before the break who said, you know what, it's just time for me to get my finances back on track. I've not been as diligent as I should have been in managing God's money and making sure every dollar has a name, if you will, so that it's going the places that I want it to go, as opposed to just kind of slipping through my fingers. Well, a budget, a spending plan is essential for that. And we've created what I believe is the very best tool on the market for you to create your budget. And here's the key, stick to it. It's called the FaithFi app. It's built on the tried and true envelope system that Larry Burkett, you might know that name from decades ago, Larry in the late 70s, early 80s, it was the original host of this program, a popular author and Bible teacher on biblical finance. Larry popularized what he called the envelope system using physical envelopes where you would take with your paycheck and fund envelopes with cash to use primarily for your discretionary categories to stay on budget. Well, we've kind of pulled that forward into a modern, beautiful expression of that that's very simple and easy to use right there in the palm of your hand on your smartphone. It's called the FaithFi app, and it's the brand new version, FaithFi 4.0, just came out with all kinds of new features and reports, but we made sure to keep it really simple as well. If you'd like to check it out and stay on budget, it's how Julie and I manage our budget for our family every day. You can head to our website, faithfi.com, or just go straight to your app store and search for FaithFi, and you can download it and check it out. All right, let's head back to the phones. Paul is waiting patiently there in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hi. At the beginning of the show, you had talked about advice for buyers and sellers, and I heard the tick list for the buyers. I was curious to hear what advice you may have for the sellers.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, selling a home in today's market can take a little bit more time than at least the past several years, Paul, just because of the high prices and interest rates. But maybe here is a few things to consider. I think first is maybe under the category of preparation and timing. I would set a timeline. So start preparing your home well before you plan to list it. You're going to want to do any necessary repairs and upgrades, decluttering, even what they call staging, just so rooms aren't too full of furniture, making them feel smaller. And really getting a professional in there early to help you think through all of those things is key. I would also say be careful on doing renovations. And this is where I think a professional can be helpful. There's certain things you don't want to do because either A, you're not going to get the money back out, or B, there are things that are particular to your taste that may not be to the new buyers. And so you may be putting money in that you're not going to end up getting back. So I just having a professional walk through with you to address things like decluttering, but also any necessary repairs and upgrades. They'll, of course, help you do that market analysis to understand your market. And that's going to lead you into the pricing side of it. You want to set a realistic price. You'll work with your agent to do that based on comparable homes in your area. Now, here's something that, and this is, you know, not a professional opinion. I'm not a realtor, but I will just tell you my observation on pricing that has changed over the years, over the last three decades, I'll say. It used to be that you would kind of set your price a good bit above what you ultimately wanted to get in terms of a contract amount. And you would negotiate down, understanding that somebody would come in low and maybe you'd meet in the middle. My observation is things have changed, and here's how they've changed in my view. When you're setting the price, you want to be, you don't want to set it too high, because what's happening is people are searching for homes based on a search criteria. So they might say, show me all the homes in, you know, this school district with these neighborhoods up to this price point. And so let's say you wanted to, you know, get $425,000. Well, you may not want to price it at $425,000. You may want to price it at $400,000, because then anybody who's searching for homes $400,000 and lower, you're going to show up. And here's what's changed. People, as opposed to just assuming that they're going to negotiate down from your asking price, it's far more common these days for people to pay 10 and 20% higher than your asking price. And so you can theoretically get that 425 by pricing it at four, getting more buyers, potential buyers coming to the table, and having more and more people available to negotiate with you. So anyway, that's just my observation on what's changed, but take that for what it's worth. I would also say with regard to selling, don't just go for the highest bid in terms of the negotiation and the selection of who you're actually going to go to contract with. You want to consider other factors such as the form of the payment, the type of the financing, the amount of the down payment, whether or not there's any contingencies, the proposed closing date. You want a quality buyer that has the most likelihood of actually getting to the closing table. Even though I understand you're going to keep the deposit, that's just a lot of time you're chewing up there if somebody ends up not going to closing. And then, you know, I think there's some other issues just with regard to marketing. You want to have professional photos. You want to have somebody who's really skilled at putting your listing up. But I think those would be the big ones in my mind. Is that helpful to you, Paul?
Yes. And there's been more than one real estate agent that has echoed your philosophy about, here is a really good price. It's a good strategy to maybe even come a little down from there. Yeah. So that as the offers come in, you can get them to come up.
Yeah.
You're not alone on that.
Yeah, that's good to know. I mean, it just used to be, I mean, when I was a teenager, you know, my parents were buying and selling houses. I mean, you wouldn't think of getting a full asking price offer. And so you just kind of, you priced it a little higher, hoping you'd kind of settle in maybe 10 or 20 or 30,000 below asking. That's just not the case anymore. People are very willing to pay over asking. And so I think the key is getting as big a pool of potential buyers to the table as possible. Hey, Paul, thanks for your call, sir. All the best to you as you try to sell this home. Let's head to Mississippi. David, go ahead.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing real well, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if you could give a little guidance on picking a financial advisor.
Yeah, it's a great question. Go ahead.
I've had some experience, and I'm just not, I know enough about investing to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really comfortable trying to do it myself.
Yeah.
But everybody that I have tried, I just don't, I feel like I wouldn't say they're dishonest, but it seems like they just have a sort of a, they don't really care that much.
Yeah.
They just have whatever program, everybody's got a different approach, but yeah. Nothing radically different, but I'll let you talk because I'm bewildered.
Okay. Well, let's do this. I want to be able to give you a satisfactory answer here, and I do have some thoughts, but I'm right up against a break. So I'm going to ask you, David, to stay right there. And as soon as we come back from this break, I'll tackle this question and give you some of my thoughts on how you find that advisor. And by the way, I affirm this idea that you spend your whole life accumulating a nest egg. You probably don't want to put it on autopilot. That's where an advisor comes in. And I think picking the right one is key. Guy there in Missouri, I know you're waiting patiently, as well as Louise, will be coming to you after the break as well. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is
agree.
A calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to David in Mississippi. He's got a nest egg. He'd like to manage it wisely in terms of investments. He's not too sure he wants to do that himself. He'd like to hire an advisor. But his question is, it seems like all these investment advisors might all use kind of the similar products and services. Maybe they have kind of a cookie cutter approach. And he's just wondering, you know, how do I find somebody who's really going to be diligent and skilled in managing the money that's been entrusted to me? And I think it's a great question, David. First of all, as I said before the break, I affirm the idea that having an advisor who has that skill set and is waking up every day thinking about managing this money, reducing risk, growing it appropriately, is a good idea, especially because you've spent your whole working life amassing this wealth. You want to hang on to it as best you can. But when it comes to choosing that advisor, you know, you'll hear on this program, we talk a lot about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. Is that the end all be all? Well, it's a starting point because in our view, you know, this is a way to say, I want to work with somebody who shares my values and understands the heart of God in Scripture related to money and money management, and has met high standards in character and competence, and you know they've had a regulatory review by somebody looking at their regulatory past, and they've had a pastor and client references submitted, and they've been trained through a rigorous training program and exam on understanding a biblical approach to financial decision making, and they have significant experience. So the CKA for us is the baseline, and that's, by the way, the only industry designation in the financial services industry around biblically wise financial advice that's accepted industry-wide. Now, beyond that, you'd want to obviously choose a CKA in the investment space. And then I would say where you go next is to sit down and interview them. And by the way, at faithfi.com, when you get through the questions and get the list of CKAs, there's actually a PDF there that will give you a list of potential questions you can use during that interview process. But what I would want to understand to your question specifically is, how do you go about building portfolios? Is it just kind of a cookie cutter approach, or, you know, is it more hands on? What types of investments will you be using? Are you going to drop me in a few mutual funds? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you'd want to know that. Are you going to build it with individual stocks and bonds where you're picking the stocks and buying individual, stock purchases, or are you doing it through traded funds? How do you determine kind of the risk level and the risk profile associated with somebody in my stage of life? So you're going to want to get into those inner workings. I think at the end of the day, though, you know, how you will ultimately make that decision is going to come down to, do you have a good rapport with that advisor? Assuming you can check all the boxes with kind of, you know, the investment strategy and their experience and performance, and they have the CKA, I think it's going to come down to, do you have a good rapport? What is the communication rhythm you're looking for? And is the advisor on board with that? Are you sensing a genuine curiosity in who you are and your story and where God is taking you and how they can support that in their work and managing the money that God has entrusted to you? I would want to know, is this the advisor that actually is going to work with you on a regular basis, or are you going to be passed off to somebody else? And then finally, you know, one other criteria might be, are you one of the advisor's ideal clients? And here's what I mean by that. You know, if this advisor is typically working with business owners who have a liquidity event and, you know, the average portfolio is $3 million and you got a quarter of a million, you may not be in that advisor's ideal client mix. And you might want to know that, because, you know, you may want to find an advisor where they say, no, your situation, stage of life, asset amount or level is right in the bullseye of my ideal client, and you're going to get all the attention, that you need. So those are just a few thoughts. I mean, I think there's going to be more of a feel to it than a science in terms of how you make that selection. But hopefully that gives you a few things to think about. Is that helpful?
It is. It is.
Good.
I don't. How long do you think be an ample amount of time to give an advisor before you decided to stay with them or leave them?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one, because, I mean, you've got to understand, first of all, what is your investment strategy that you and the advisor agree on, just based on your risk tolerance, your goals. Because remember, your goal is not just to, quote, beat the market. Your goal is to achieve a level of return that's commensurate with your needs, goals, and objectives, right? So if you don't need more than 5% a year, there's no reason to try to shoot for 10, because you're going to take a lot more risk, unnecessary risk. And so once you all settle in on what your objective is with the portfolio, not only in returns, but also I would incorporate your values as well. And, you know, are you wanting to bring in your faith values with regard to the investment selections, and having an advisor to do that, if that's important to you, would be key. But then once you do that, I think you need to give them ample time to demonstrate what they can do. I would say that's probably 5 years. Now, you might say, well, that's a long time. And it is. And here's the caveat to that. I mean, if something is just way out of whack, where, you know, your returns are way off from a similar broad market return in the same category or strategy, and there's just something really awry, you may, you know, pull the plug in 6 months or a year. But I think, you know, if you're in the same ballpark as the commensurate, strategy in the indexes, then I would say you got to give them time to demonstrate what they can do. And that's going to happen in years, not quarters. So I would say, 3 to 5 years, unless something is just really out of line, would be my recommendation.
Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, David. Thanks for being on the program. Quickly to Virginia. Hi, Louise. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Brother Rich. Praise the Lord. My question is very simple. I've been in this house for 18 years, and I'm thinking about selling it. But I'm hearing about equity in the home.
Yeah.
So what, number one, is equity. Number two, how do I use that for my benefit, or can I, in selling this house?
Yes. Well, the equity, Miss Louise, is the difference between what the value of the home is and what you owe on it. So let me just give you a real simple example. Let's say the home is worth $200,000 and you have a mortgage of $100,000. Then the difference between those two is your equity. And that would be, in my example, $100,000, because the $100,000 in equity plus the $100,000 you own the mortgage equals the value of the home, which just simply means if you were to sell the home, which the home is an asset, and that just simply means it's something of value. So stocks are assets, cash is an asset, a home is an asset because it has value. And when you sell that asset, your home, and pay off the mortgage, so you sell it for $200,000, you pay off the mortgage of $100,000, the equity is what's left, $100,000. So the reason you want to increase the equity is you're increasing the amount you have available to you in that asset that's not encumbered by debt. And over time, the goal would be for you to have no debt, so your equity is equal to the value. Because if you have no mortgage, then if the home's worth $200,000, then you have $200,000 in equity, which means if you sell the home, you get the full $200,000 to go buy your next home or to do anything else you want. So the goal is to increase equity over time, which means you're moving closer and closer to full ownership of the property without any debt involved. And the reason you would want to do that is because now you have an asset that's unencumbered. Which means it's free to do anything you want with it when it's sold, whether you turn around and invest it in stocks and bonds or buy another piece of real estate. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you so very much. That's what I was looking for.
All right. Very good. Thank you for your call. You sound like a sweet, wonderful lady, and we're delighted you were on the program today. Let's go to Missouri. Guy, I understand you have some comments about a previous caller related to scams. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, Rob, I want to thank you for just the amount of wealth of knowledge that you have about the financial industry. It's just incredible every time I listen to you. But as far as the scams, anyone probably below the age of 50 thinks I'm in the dark ages. But I personally have stayed away from the big online banks just because anytime you put your information out there, it's out there somewhere.
Yes, yes.
And I bank with a local bank. They have, several branches around the communities. I do use the digital format where I can go in and look at my accounts just so I can monitor them. And so the advice that you're giving about the person, using a protection agency and all that and checking their accounts, I use the digital banking, I guess, just to check my accounts because we have checks coming and going. I have businesses. And so it just provides a good way to do that and stay away from the scams of the big banks.
Yeah. Well, that's well said, Guy. First, let me just say how grateful I am for those kind comments you made about the program. But secondly, I'm delighted to have this perspective because, listen, it's growing increasingly challenging to stay safe in the digital realm, because with all the advances in technology and security, there's equal advances in the number of fraudsters and folks who are trying to take advantage of the system. And that's just a reality. And so anything we can do to protect ourselves is a good thing. And it's always a matter of balance, isn't it? It's balance in our spiritual life and it's balance in our financial life. And that includes the use of technology. And so how are we, you know, taking advantage of some of the modern conveniences, but not opening ourselves up to greater risk of threat? And yours is certainly one approach. So I appreciate you sharing that with us today. Unfortunately, we're out of time. God bless you, sir. Thanks for being along with us today. Big thanks to my team today, Devin, Pat, and Taylor. Couldn't do it without them. I'm grateful you were along with us as well. Hope you come back to join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.